Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio, sitting in for Dick Newman this morning, who has the day off. I believe his granddaughter's graduating today, so Dick's not here today. So we're going to start talking La Caprile Valley girls golf with head coach Kip Stender. Kip, congratulations on another conference championship this week.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, that was back last Monday, right?
Correct.
All right, tell us all about it.
Yeah, the conference championships held in Marshall at the Marshall Country Club golf course. And we have an 18-hole tournament to conclude the regular season. The girls finished first in the regular season, being winning each competition, all six events. At the conference championship, they shot a 360 as a team, a real nice team score. The last 3 years, our team scores were 360 this year, 364 and 374. So it was nice to see that they improved over the last couple years. Dawson Boyd was in second with a real nice 372. McCray was third with a 407. Community Christian 415. RTR 418. And Camby with a 424. Individually, for the girls, Bella Jacobs led the conference. I believe she won every event and then was first at the tournament with a 79, so she earned the MVP of the conference on the girls' side. Lindsay Lund was second at the conference championship with an 82. Alyssa Swadinsky third with an 85 from Dawson Boyd. They both are. Molly Halverson finished fourth with an 88. Kara Raingard was 91 for Camby, so those top five earned medals for the conference championship tournament. In sixth was Peyton Sachs with a 96, which was her personal best. Caitlin Kittleson was 7th with a 97. Grace Vlasic finished 13th with a 101. And Kate Alstead was 16th with a 103. So overall, the girls did a real nice job of hitting out of the rough when we were there. And we went down Sunday and practiced and prepared. And they carried it over to the tournament on Monday. Earning all conference for the season were Bella Jacobs, Molly Halverson, and Caitlin Kittleson. Well, that concluded our conference season and our regular season, and we are preparing for the postseason right now. Today we're down in Coon Rapids at Bunker Hills, and we played yesterday.
All right. Well, getting back to Monday in Marshall, that was the seventh year in a row you've won conference, you mentioned to me, huh?
Yeah. Yep, it was our seventh in a row, and we created a little t-shirt, so if anybody wants one, I think it'll get out there on Facebook with the golf team's Facebook page. I actually haven't ever seen the page myself. I do have Facebook for the butcher shop, and every now and then I can figure out how to do something on there, but I haven't been into that. So there's a nice Facebook page, and the link will be on there. It's just a nice conference championship t-shirt with the girls' names on the back, and
yeah, gotta give a shout out. I believe Melissa Jacobs runs that Facebook page or contributes to it, and she does a great job with the social media. And
right, she does a nice job and attends all the events, and then people can, you know, other parents can send pictures and things of the girls, and she gets them posted. So she's been a real blessing that way and a help for the team. And so I think they're $20. We got them put together this week, and on the back it says 7 for 7, and we have 7 girls on the team this year, so all 7 names are on the back.
Nice. All right. Well, you're in Bunker Hills yesterday, in Bunker Hills today. Is that an invite, Kip, or?
Yeah, it's the tri-state invite. David Kalkoff from Chan Hassan is the coach that kind of puts it on. He also works at Second Swing, so they kind of combine together to put this tournament together. There's 20 teams here. It's really, you know, really competitive, really nice field of teams, and 2-day events. So for us, it really helps get ready for sections. Our sections is 2 18-hole events a week apart, but 18 holes is a lot, and we're trying to get them in a position where they're able to concentrate all 18 holes, stay focused all 18 holes, both physically and mentally. So it's a good preparation for that. And they did a nice job yesterday. They are currently in 11th place with a 362. Chan Hassan is just ahead of us with a 361, and Benelli St. Bernard's is 360. So we're right in there. We're able to maybe move up a place or two today. Alexandria is leading it. They are 38 over. Detroit Lakes is 40 over. They're in second place, so they're two strokes apart there. Maple Grove has a nice squad. They are 41 over. Minnetonka, Eastview, Edina, Legacy Christians, 48 over. Chaska, 54. Eastridge is 58. And then we're in that group with the 360s and 362s right in the middle there. So there's 20 teams, and finishing in the middle is kind of my goal, and right now we're there, and we'll see what they can go and do today.
Some big schools there.
Yeah, a lot of AAA schools. Some, I'm looking through it quick here. I think it's just two of us that are Class A, Legacy Christian and ourselves. Yeah, that's the only Class A schools. Albany, Southwest Christian, Jordan are the only AA schools. And, Detroit Lakes is back up in Class AAA. So it's a good tournament, good course. Girls are doing well. Hannah Boris from Alexandria is leading it with one under par.
Wow.
And Molly and Bella are tied for 21st. I think they're at 84 here. Let me go to the individual part here.
I was looking at it yesterday. I believe they were at 84, and that's pretty good.
So. Yeah. The setup this year, he put two girls from each team together, and then two girls from another team. So we were paired with Hastings, and so Bali and Bella were able to golf together, and Kate and Grace, or Caitlin and Grace, and then Kate and Peyton. So it was a little easier coaching them, and they can talk to each other. They can't share information or anything like that. But it was nice for them to have that format. And today will be the same. Today we'll be playing with Stillwater. Molly and Bella were at that 84, and then Caitlin shot a 94. Grace a 100. I believe is her personal best on 18. Peyton a 103, and Kate Alstead a 110. So overall, very nice job. A couple of girls were working on some things, not worried about scores at all, and they were doing those things, so it was nice to see that.
Good. Well, good luck today, and what's coming up next week?
We have sections on Wednesday, so first round of sections, 9 a.m., tee times. I haven't looked at the exact tee times the girls tee off, but that's what the season's all about, and our goal to go there and do well, and we have real good competition with Bold and Dawson Boyd, and so the three of us, it should be a battle, and it'll be fun, and the girls are looking forward to it, and they've prepared really well.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll be up there Wednesday following the golf, and good luck on Wednesday then, Kip, and good luck today at Bunker Hill.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Kip Stender, head coach of the Lacapaille Valley Girls Golf Team. We'll take a break. Barry Besson is in the studio. We'll talk boys golf right after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Hats off to our area beef producers during May Beef Month from the Country Butcher in Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. And they're taking pulled pork orders for graduation, so give them a call. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show on a beautiful Saturday morning. Blue skies, great temps, great weather like you had last Monday in Marshall, Barry.
Yeah, getting some weather that's kind of resembling spring and even getting to summer here, so that's been good to have finally, and makes for a little more of an enjoyable experience to play. I know Monday in Marshall, that was you couldn't have drawn that one up any better.
Beautiful.
Very little wind, sun was shining, nice temps, just a beautiful day. So we went down to Marshall. We had that conference tournament to wrap up the conference season. As I said, the weather was beautiful. The course was a little wet. They had quite a bit of rain over the weekend,
did.
And so there was a few places where there was some casual standing water and that. But otherwise, the course was in good shape. So for the event, we ended up third out of 13 teams. We had a season low 349. So very pleased with the performance of the guys on that round rising to the occasion in a big tournament like that. First place was Lakeview at 329. They ended up the overall season champion. CMCS was second at 340. We were third at 349. Dawson Boyd fourth at 354. Canby, CCS were fifth, sixth with 359 each. RTR, Yellow Medicine East, were seventh, eighth with 361 each. RCW is ninth at 365. Mineota was 10th at 392. McRae was 11th at 398. Mortonville was 12th at 413. And TMB was 13th with an incomplete score. Individually, a pretty good shootout there for the top spot between Carson Bessonen and then Carson Bowe of Lakeview, also both sophomores and both longtime rivals going back to their...
Oh, Carson Bowe.
Yeah,
Carson Bowe's a sophomore too,
Yeah, going back to their elementary days playing against each other.
Elementary days.
Yeah, they've been pretty good friends over the years. And I know they were tied through 15 holes and Carson Bowe ended up getting a couple birdies coming in, and he ended up winning the event. Carson Bessonen was second with a 73, one over par. Nice round there.
I know you mentioned last Saturday that your son Carson Bessonen has had some tough luck. Lost the ball the week before, and nothing like that happened Monday. Then
he didn't lose any balls. Okay. He got a couple spots where he got a little had a couple tough locations, but no, he didn't have anything like that on that day. He did again on Wednesday. We'll talk about that later, but he didn't have anything like that. He played well. He was second. Drew Yamlin and Dawson Boyd was third, 76. Ryan Schrupp of RCW was fourth, 77. And then tie for fifth for the top five, Eli Gerdes of CMCS and Chase Christensen of RTR, both at 79s to tie for that fifth spot. We also had... individually for us, Caden Stender tied for 18th with an 89. Matthew Arndt was 29th with a 92. Grant Bierke is 35th with a 95. Going on down the scrolling down the list here. JT Alstead was 58th with a 108, and Gavin Carl 68th with a 131. Overall, for the all conference team, Carson Bessonen was our one member of the all conference team. Him and Carson Bowe were in those top two slots, and then there was quite a gap. I think it was a double figure gap then to the next spot. Okay. So those two were kind of head and shoulders above the rest of the group as far as the all conference team. But again, nice day for everybody. A lot of kids played well. To shoot to 349. You know, hopefully then we can carry some of that over into the upcoming section tournament.
Okay.
On Wednesday, we went over to the Benson Invitational. Again, the day started a little cool, but as time went on, it became a pretty nice day as well, as the sun came out and you know, kind of dealt with a little bit of that fog and smog from the that we've had the last few days too. But overall, nice day to play. There were eight teams there, just eight team. They had a few girls teams there too, but there were eight boys teams. We came in sixth out of eight. Morris won it with 345. YME was second, 351. BB was third, 357. Dawson Boyd was fourth, 360. Benson was fifth, 362. We were sixth at 365. CCS was seventh at 366. Ortonville was eighth at 386. It was just tough. Nice day, but it was tough scoring for everybody. I mean, the entire field kind of... scores were a lot higher than I anticipated, you know, even from some of the top guys. Individually, Carson Bessnan came in third, shot 80, 15th hole. He hit one right up against him behind a tree. So that was his undoing there. But came in third with an 80. Those that haven't played Benson, very heavily wooded.
Yep.
They said they lost some trees and storms and that. My question was where. You couldn't tell. But it's very, very heavily wooded, and you got to be very straight.
I've golfed that course. I really like that course in Benson.
It's a fun course. It's not very long, but if you get off the fairway a little bit, you can be needing a chainsaw.
I know that one green by the clubhouse, it's like a 90-degree slope when I golfed. Did they still have that big sloped green?
They got a few sloped greens like that the greens can be a little tricky. There's some slope, like I said, you got to hit it straight. But Charlie Hansen of Morris won the event with a 75. Brady Schwinghammer, BB, was second with 77. And Carson was third with an 80. Also playing for us that day, Gavin Carl had a 93, 19th place for him. And then we went to Matt Arnton, a 96, 28th place. Matt took on a little bit of the snake bitten luck there. I think he had a 96, he had an 8, 9, and a 10 on his card. He said if we could turn those into sixes, he's down about 9 or 10 shots. So, but it is encouraging. He had 15 pretty good holes, so I think he's coming along, and hopefully he'll be, ready to play well this week. Caden Stender also a 96 with that tie with Matt. Noah Arndt shot 104 for 35th, and then Grant Bierke was 36 with a 106. So one thing is we had four guys who had never seen the course before they're playing, and that's definitely not a course that the first time you play it is usually it's you got to know where to and where not to hit the ball on some holes besides the trees, just some angles and some dog legs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so given the circumstances, completely understandable so the next time some of those guys go back, I anticipate they'd do better just from having a little more knowledge.
Okay, good. All right, what's coming up?
Wednesday we go to Wilmer, Eagle Creek, first day of the section tournament, 9 o'clock start. So this will kind of be the cut day. Everyone will play the first 18, and then they'll make a cut for the second round, which is on the 31st.
So there's 2 days of section tournament then. Determine who goes to state.
2 days, 36 holes. So we just play them a week apart. So it's,
how do you determine who makes the cut?
It's the top four teams go on automatically. Everyone on that team goes on, and of course those teams go on to the next day. And then I think you take whatever the remaining individuals are, and then you take the top 25% of those plus ties. So,
okay.
So if you've got 40 other kids remaining, you'd take 10 plus ties, and then round up. So if it was 41, it would go to 11.
Okay.
Obviously with the teams that go on, you got if they all play six kids, you got 24 kids there plus, so you'll have probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 30, 5 to 40 kids probably playing on the second day on the boys' side.
And Eagle Creek's very familiar with your team's very familiar with it?
Yeah, we played meets there. We practiced there. Went over yesterday for a little practice round. A few of the kids went over. So we've had the sections there for, I would say, probably 6 or 7 years now. So there's a lot of familiarity. And like I said, we get to play there, play a meet there every year. So, we got kids that have played there and kind of know their way around a little bit. So hopefully that can translate into a good result.
Okay. Barry, thanks for coming in and talking boys golf here. And good luck this week.
All right. Thank you.
Should be fun. All right, that's head coach Barry Bessonen of the Lockbrow Valley Boys golf team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Of course, in the spring, we start at 8:30, and we got, 7 or 8 coaches to get in. So we're doing that. Dick Newman has the Saturday off. I believe his granddaughter's graduating down in Sioux Falls today, John. So got to do that.
Definitely true.
All right. John Sherb's in the studio with us. Talk Lac Parle Valley Dawson Boyd track, and congratulations on the boys conference championship there, John.
Yeah, it was fun. The boys and girls, going in, we knew it would be a dogfight either way you looked at it. It was kind of like girls side, you're chasing Canby, who's won it for, 7, 8 years. They've won it for a long time, and they've been just a dominant force, and so everybody's trying to close that gap. And then the boys side, it was pretty much wide open. We kind of figured it was going to be 3 teams in that hunt. No big scores. It's going to be who's going to get enough of nickel and dime it, and that was kind of looking at it that way. So it was going to be interesting, and it turned out very well. I was very happy with the kids competed down there. We had a lot of personal records, a lot of kids going to the next level. It's just the next level is even tougher yet in some events, and so I thought that was really good. Really was strange down there. We got Lakeview on Thursday, yeah. It really changed because we got down there. It was really warm, not much wind at all. When we had, I know Thompson and Kester ran to grocery store and bought gnat spray. Gnats were so bad around there. We're working around, and all of a sudden, I think probably must have got to the 400 meter dash halfway through it. All of a sudden, the wind picked up, and it got really, really cold. And I think the gnats froze to death then because that wind picked up and got cold, and everybody started throwing jackets on and everything else. So it was a big change there. So, but it was good. Girls' side started out with that. We knew we had to get a few more points on some bigger levels, and we spread our girls out a little bit, try to score some points. And a lot of our things worked. We didn't get some other things to fall into place. On the 100-meter dash, Bailey Botham was our top runner. She was 8th at 14:01. Peyton Moe was 9th at 14:08. And Sadie Hacker was 10th at 14:14. 200-meter dash, Maya Conroy was 4th at 28:56. Sadie Hacker was 10th at 29:41. Bailey Botham was in 11th at 29:51. 400-meter dash turned into a really, really good race. Addie Tufto really is, if she she continues to get better, and then she ran a really great, smart quarter and had something to come home because the two girls around her are really, really big-time studs in that quarter, and she got into it with them and ran a really smart race. She won the quarter with a 102.14. Micaiah Poost was 8th at 107.44. Daytona Bissett was 109.35. She was 11th. That's the first time she's broken 110. Taylor Wood was 4th in the 800, 235.19. Paisley Martinson was 7th at 245.92. She really had a nice day running 800s for us, and that was good to see her kind of break into that mode. Hanaguchi was 12th at 253.32. She improved by 10 seconds off her 800. So, and that's only her second time running 800. So we, I guess as coaches, we look kind of challenged that we didn't kind of get her in the 800 sooner than we did this. But she did a nice leg to have that to do what she did. Mile, Chloe Glege was 4th at 5:59. Annika Fernals, she moved her out of the 4x8 and got her into there, and she got 6th at 6:01.95. 3,200-meter run, Chloe Glege was 4th at 13:24.80. Brooklyn Starrood was 6th at 13:50.28. I believe that's a personal best for her also. And then Reese Oxnorth was 9th at 13:59.09. 100-meter hurdles, Ion Hasted continues to have really a great season here so far, and she really ran well in the hurdles. Just she nicked the hurdle early and then kind of got herself through and almost got the first on that, but she was second at 17.83. Calista Borman was sixth at 18.91. I think it was the fifth hurdle she hit, and that kind of and then kind of got her off a little bit, and she would have been a little bit better there for us. But you compete, once you do what you do. And Alexis Olsen was ninth at 19.72. 300 hurdles, Ion Hasted was 6th, 56.75. Alexa Olsen was 9th at 57.39. And Annie Doctor was 103.14. She was in 12th. In the 4x1, they went, I believe that's a season best for us. We went 55.36. Peyton Moe to Hanaguchi to Morgan Hansen to Sadie Hacker, and they were 5th. 4x2 ran their season best, just got into a great race with the Canby team, and just unfortunately just didn't have enough to hang on to stay in, but was good to see us, you know, really got some clean handoffs and got through some things there with a 154.20, and that's our fastest of the year. Lexi Glege to Eddie Tuft to Bailey Both and to Maya Conroy. 4x4, again, we put together who was left over. We're going to see what we had for bodies, and these were our four bodies, our healthiest bodies to go through, and they finished second with a time 429.02. That was Annika Fernals, Micaiah Poost, Morgan Hansen, Addie Tuftel. 4x8 ran a season best. We had a lot of really big times drop off there, because I think coming in we were 11:02 for personal best. We went 8 seconds faster. To get fourth at 10:54.78. That was Taylor Wood, Paisley Martinson, Daytona Bissett, and Micaiah Poost. And Paisley and Micaiah had huge races. Paisley, I think, cut off 8.5 seconds off her personal best. And then Micaiah also improved herself. She went down to the low 40s, and that's got to be about 10 seconds off her personal best. So you got to like the way those girls really kind of put it out there and really worked at it. And we're on the front side most of the race. Shot put, Haley Anderson had a personal best in there. She was second overall, 32 feet, 11 inches. Paige Meyer was fourth at 31 feet, 7.5 inches. Isabel Longhenry was eighth at 28 feet, 3 inches. Discus, Paige Meyer was third at 24.75, and that's, I think, about 4 feet off her personal best, so she's hopefully gets another shot on next Thursday. Haley Anderson was 8th at 81 feet, 2.5 inches, and Isabel was also 10th at 78 feet, 11 inches. High jump, Hasted continues to really, really extend in that high jump and go on, and she won the high jump at 5 feet. That was not her personal best, but still, that's a good mark to work off. You know, if we got to find a couple more inches here these next 2 weeks, so she will be in the thick of things. But she won it. Calista Borman was 7th at 4 feet 4 inches. And then Sadie Rosendahl, our young 8th grader we had brought up with that, she was 8th at 4 feet 2 inches. Long jump, Abigail Alonzo was 16th at 12 feet 8.5 inches. Calista Borman was 18th at 12 feet 5.5 inches. And Reese McCoy was 19th at 12 feet 4.5 inches. Triple jump, Ayana was 5th. 31 feet 3 inches, and you know, the scary thing with her, she only started this 3 weeks ago triple jumping, so she has really picked this up here really, really well. It's just, you know, unfortunately, there's some really good triple jumpers in our conference. Calista Borman was 6th at 30 feet 8 inches, and Alexis Olsen was 13th at 28 feet 6 inches. Scoring wise, just didn't have enough in there. Just Canby had too many aces on that front side, and we didn't get enough on that aces front side. It just, and that's what separates the teams from winning and losing, is how well your front side does and how well you can pick up on the back side. And we got the backside middle stuff done. We just didn't get enough on that front side. But Canby Mineota won it with 150. McCray was second at 130. We were third at 91. Lakeview at 44. Princeburg at 42. Ortonville 26. TMB 25. YME 25. And RTR 23. So you get ready to be happy with these girls. They competed. They went after. They weren't afraid to kind of go that level. And the biggest thing, I think a lot of them learned real fast. We talked about you get done with your event, you got to move on to your next event. You can't dwell what happened in the past. And I thought some of the kids really, really caught that, understood it, and they got regrouped and ready to go and gave it another all as we went. So that was really fun to see them go at it and what they did. Mm-hmm. Boys going in, again, like I said, it was three teams. It was McCray, Lakeview, and us. As kind of, I figured what were the three, what we've seen on paper here, we're going to be in that thick of things. The boys, we don't, you know, the boys we talked last year after the conference, I mean, I told them if they can find five more boys to add to this year's team for next year, I said, we'll have a chance to win a conference. And we did. And that's the biggest thing. I knew what we had for talent. If we could have built some around that talent, we'd be in the thick of things. And they, I don't know who talked to who, these new kids came out. We picked up five, six new kids, and they all contributed big time for us, and that was really nice for us. In the 100-meter dash, Garrett Costed was seventh overall at 12:11. And then Porter Peterson was 26th at 14:06, and Garrett was 12:11. 200-meter dash, that was going to be the start of our kind of our run with Brayson. Brayson, we threw him in his four events, and we were hoping him to get us a lot of points, and he had a really, really good day, and he got us a lot of points, and that was kind of our key. He was second in the 200, behind the guy that was third in the state last year, so he was right with him, so that was great to see him in that hunt. He was second with a time of 23.62. Damian Torres was 11th at 25.96, and David Torgerson was 19th at 27.61. 400-meter, Keegan Wick was 5th. He was timed 56.37. 800-meter run, and I had a nice talk with Perkins. I said, we got to get 1 point. That's the biggest thing. We're in the later races of the day. I was like, well, we need a point here. We need a point there. Anything is more than zero, and that's what we got to have. And he came down with a big finishing sprint to get it. He got a sixth overall with a 214.94, and I believe that is his season best of the year for a time. So that was great to have him finish it. Then Tanner Callis was 11th at 220.24, and that is an open event for him. That's his best by 5 seconds there in the open. Then in the mile, Gavin Carl looked very, very comfortable. It really was a nice race to see him go at that, and he was second overall. He's learning as we go, and that's the thing is, he's in a distance crew that's older, so he's got to run against older kids, more experience, and he's slowly picking up things, and that's what we're liking to see. And he finished with a personal best of 443.70. Then in the 2 mile, got a little bit of kind of a heads game in that one. He got caught up in playing a game in there, and then got out of his race a little bit, but he still finished third with a time of 10:46.70. And then Jordan Perkins, I asked him to say, he's a good cross country kid. I thought, let's just see what you can do. He's been getting his miles in, not as much the miles run too much. Let's see if he can maybe falls off. He can get in that six, but he jumped in there. He was 11th, first time. I think it's probably the first time he's ever ran a 2 mile on track. So he was 11th at 12:29.62. Then in the 110 hurdles, and now this is some of the events we needed to go big, and we sure did. James Weber won it with 16.85. Ethan Hurston was second at 17.19. That's a PR for him. You got to like the way we've got to really make our points when we can, and we did. And Ethan, like I said, PR for him, and that's what you want to see. 300 hurdles, again, we need big points in the 300 hurdles. Both those guys came back in the 300 hurdles, and we ended up getting James second, 43.90. And then Ethan Hurston was third at 45.62. So, again, he also had a PR in that. So it's another scenario where we needed to have and get that. And Joseph Felton was 13th at 54.75. Relays, were kind of what finished us off for us to get us in there. I know I got to the field events to go through. But in the relays, our 4x1, I think we were seated sixth coming in. And we ended up getting fifth. And that was big because it's 2 points picking up, and it's really we had a bad thing happen at the end of the 4x1, but we still were able to hold on. That was Gabe Lowry to Noah Meyer to Damian Torres to Garrett Costed. We went 48.80. Unfortunately, Garrett pulled his hammy the last 10 meters and was able to hold it together, to get us into that fifth spot. And it's not a good pull, unfortunately. I think he'll be done for the rest of the season for us. But he laid it out for us to get us through, and that was a big finish for get us 2 points there. 4x2, same thing. The guys weren't seated very high. We made a change. We put Keegan in there a little bit, and that changes our scenario. And if we would have had a cleaner handoff on our fourth one, we probably even could have got fourth. Our 3-4 wasn't the cleanest. If that would have cleaned up, we could have moved up again. They were fourth with 144.51. That was Keegan Wick, Eli Hagelin, David Torgerson, and Damian Torres. The 4x4 is what, I probably should save this for the last, but I'll screw it up and lose it and I'll come back to it. 4x4 came down to, we were down two going into the 4x4th. One last event. We had to beat Lakeview to tie or put a team in between us to win it, and that's how close it was. And so we knew what we needed to do with that. And unfortunately, Gavin, we had him thinking about he may come in the 4x4 after doing the 2 mile, but he didn't look very good. And I had Ethan Herson was kind of hanging around there, and I put him and Ethan there. We just felt he was our healthiest and our freshest one to go in there. And so we knew what we had to do. We got a great leadoff leg from James. James put us on that front side. It was just huge for us to be on that front side lead. And then Justin Perkins was our second man. He held on to that spot right into there. And then Ethan was actually, through 300 meters, the boy was ruling. Unfortunately, he's used to 300 hurdles. So there's another 100 meters after. He kind of hit a wall that faded a little bit but held on enough to get it. And then Keegan got the stick, not the cleanest of stick. Him and I have been chirping on each other a little bit about we've got to have cleaner handoffs. And he had not the greatest hands, got up there and got himself into second place. We were tracking the Canby kid, and then Ortonville was right behind us. And if you've ever been to Lakeview's track or their football field, they have a big scoreboard. And I think Keegan looked at the board and saw the Ortonville kid come up behind with 150 meters to go. And Keegan said, I've got to go home now or else. And he took off and he came down the straightaway. He held off the Ortonville kid, and then he started closing on the Canby kid. With 10 meters to go, he was at a dead solid second. I don't know what he did. He dug deeper and pushed his legs through. At last 5 meters, he went from second to nudging the Canby kid out just by, I believe it was, 0.03 of a second to go from that. And that was, again, that was really, really great to see that the kids step up to that level. They went 3:48.87 to get first. 4x8, they ran a season best by 20 seconds. And that was, again, all the kids put together some really, really nice spots in there. And that was Justin Perkins to Jordan Perkins to Joseph Felton, Tanner Cowles. Tanner actually improved by 7.5, 8 seconds off his personal best in 800. So that was some big things there. Shot put did not turn out as well. I know Garrett was not a happy camper, but again, in that shot, it was just a little short where we wanted to be with in that shot, and that's just the way it unfortunately goes. Garrett was end up, I got to find my right page here. Oh, there we go, wrong side. Garrett ended up finishing 10th. Didn't have his greatest. He was 36 feet, 3.5 inches. Noah Meyer all of a sudden woke up, and Noah talks. We all talk and give him our time. He talks up, and all of a sudden, Lau goes, he was like 8 feet farther than he's ever thrown in the shot put. And then he looks at Noah and goes, well, you finally figuring this out? Well, he goes, I just thought I wouldn't throw anything big until the end of the season. I just thought I'd save it to the end. But he did. He went 35 feet, 9 inches, and that's a big push for him, and that's good to see him growing because he's only a sophomore. Hopefully he can build off this and get better at it. And then Gabe Lowry was 21st at 28 and 5.5 inches. Discus, Garrett Costa tried picking up a disc to see what he could do. He's never thrown a disc in competition. Just said, let's just maybe get lucky. I need one good toss to get a mark. And he got a mark. He was 19th. He went 61 feet, 5 inches. You got to like the way he stepped up and tried it and to go for that. The boys' high jump was another big one for us. I had, on paper, Brayson was second in the high jump. Getting where he needed to be. He ended up going big in high jump. He cleared 6.4. He also went for the new school record, drive for the school record, and the conference record at 6.6. And I thought I talked to the coaches. I did not get over to see it. Coaches talked like in his second or third attempt, he had 6.6 cleared. So you show if he's coming around where he needs to be, and that's a big jump for us on that. Then Eli Hagelin had a big jump also. He was third at 5.10. So again, now you're picking up a first and third in the team points. Then the long jump, we were kind of in scary land in long jump. Brayson and Eli did not have very good jumps in prelims, and they were both kind of question, are they going to make finals or not? Because they just, I don't know, again, to have a good high jump or what it was, but they made finals, and then they went out after things. Boyk ended up breaking the conference record. He went 21 feet, 4.5 inches to win it. Eli Hagelin was seventh at 18 feet, 8 inches. And that's, again, good marks, big points again. Then the triple was kind of our other marquee event. We needed to go big, and we sure did again. Brayson Boyk went big again. This is a personal best for him. He went 43 feet, 3.5 inches. And that is, I want to say, a PR by 1.5 feet.
Okay.
And went big. And then Eli Hagelin was second at 40 feet, 4.5. And then Keegan Wick was fifth at 38 feet, 1 inches. Scoring, boys ended up winning with 121. Lakeview was second at 116. McCray was 105. Camby Mania was 83. RTR 44. TMB 38. CMCS 28.5. Ortonville 24. YME 5. And Wilmer had won. So just a great day. My voice still hasn't recovered at all, but it was a fun day watching the boys and girls both compete.
Well, congratulations on that boys' championship. That's awesome. And a lot of personal records, a lot of personal bests you had mentioned.
Yes, a lot of the kids stepped up new level, and that's, again, the key what we needed to have.
Hey, we got to mention one of Lockbrow Dawson Boyd alumni did very well in college, just ended his college career. Why don't you talk about that for a second?
Well, Kaiser Friedley, him and I had been texting because he was a conference meet, and he didn't know if he'd make finals, and this was me his last run, and I didn't get a chance to go up and see him run on either Friday or Saturday. And Saturday, he ended up making finals in the 800. He got a fifth place in the conference in the 800. He went 151, 151.75 remember what change it was, 151.75 or something like that. And that is a personal best for him in the 800 to close his college career out for running for NDSU. So just a great finish to the kid. And then, you know, he's been a fun kid to follow.
Yeah, he had a couple extra years there because of COVID, right?
Yep, they had that COVID. NCAA gave that COVID rule out there that if you were involved in COVID, that was kind of like a red shirt free year. And if you wanted to come back, so you could actually have a sixth year regular on that without having to, without that. So he got an extra year into there.
So a great college career there at a Division I level. That's pretty cool.
Yep, you got to like that. And that was fun to see him run that fast and just close it out.
Good. What's up next for the track team?
Next week we are into subsections. Now we're into that playoff time. We run at Benson, I think, remember right, 3:45 is field events. Running will start at 4:30. I thought that's what it saw.
It's at Benson.
At Benson.
Okay.
So that'll be a little different. We haven't been at Benson in a while, so that'll be different to go up there. Top four will automatically qualify for the section meet. Then they'll have a performance list of four of all the other three subsections to take the best four out of. So they'll have 16 people in every event.
Okay.
So that's what they'll do, and that's what we'll be the following week. We'll be at in Monty. And we're going to change things up. There's kids. Now we're going to start, instead of focusing on the points, now we're focusing on who we can qualify and how many events we can qualify to give us a chance to place very well at the section meet.
When's that meet in Benson?
Benson will be Thursday, this Thursday.
Okay. Yep. All right, John, appreciate you coming in all the time. Beautiful Saturday, huh?
Yeah, it's a gorgeous Saturday. You got to love it.
Got to go out and get some work done now.
Yeah, we got to get out there to enjoy it.
All right, thanks, John.
Thank you.
John Sherb, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapral Valley Boys and Girls Track Team. We'll take a break. Come back, talk softball right after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Hats off to our area beef producers during May Beef Month from the Country Butcher in Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. And they're taking pulled pork orders for graduation, so give them a call. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Back here on the Coach's Show, we're going to talk softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky right now. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul.
Beautiful day, huh?
Yeah, it is. Good day for ball.
That's right. Well, it was a busy week for your team, huh?
Yeah, it was. Yep, we kicked it off on Tuesday with a doubleheader against RCW Bold. They've got a good team, very young team. Seventh grade pitcher in the first game, and then an eighth grade pitcher who started in the second game. And we got on her, and they brought the seventh grader back in. She's going to be the real deal. That first game, it was really a great game. I mean, we battled. We scored two in the first. All of a sudden had a tough inning in the third inning where we gave up four runs, but bounced back in the fourth and tied it up at four. And in the fifth inning, we took a one-run lead up 5-4 heading into the seventh. We were on cruise control. We got two outs in the seventh inning, nobody on base. And I still don't know how it all happened, honestly. It was so fast and furious, but RCW Bold scores six unanswered with two outs and nobody on to end up winning the game 10-5. And we really just kind of fell apart defensively. We ended up with seven errors in the game, many of them coming in that inning. Just couldn't make a play. And, Taylor threw a really nice game. She did give up 10 runs, but only three of them were earned. She had four strikeouts and one walk. And it is a good RCW Bold team, so it's just hard to fathom that a team could score six runs without getting an out and nobody on base. You know, it's a combination of bad luck and plays that didn't go our way and plays that we didn't make. But hitting on the day, Taylor was 1-for-4. Riley Lund was 1-for-3. Jalen Lee continues to tear it up. She was 2-for-4. Kendall Shelstead was 1-for-4. Ayanna Gibson was 1-for-3. Maddie Matthews was 1-for-3. And Brandy Meyer was 1-for-3. So we had eight hits on the day. It was a great, great game, like I said, up until that last out. So then we had a choice to make. How are we going to come back out after committing seven errors and let one slip away? So we got the back end of the doubleheader, and that too was a great game. We jumped out. We answered with three runs early in the first inning, and RCW Bold was the home team in that game, and they answered right back with three more in the first. And then in the second, RCW Bold got two more, so the score was sitting at 5-3. And then it was a pitcher's duel and a defensive duel from there on out. And that's how the score ended, was RCW Bold 5, Lacaparo 3. So we lost two tough doubleheaders, games that we know we're capable of winning, and yet they're certainly not bad losses. That's a pretty good team. On the day, Taylor threw the back end of that doubleheader as well. She gave up five runs, and they were earned. She had seven strikeouts and one walk. Our defense played much better. We only had one error that game. When we can defend and make the basic plays, we'll be a tough team to beat because we swing the bat very well. But we have to remember that most of the infielders are. When I look at Jalen Lee and Kayla Jan and Brandy Meyer, this is technically their second year out for softball as sophomores, and so they're still growing. But I'm super excited about their athleticism and what they're going to bring here in the future, and in particular in playoff time. So on that game, hitting, Shelstead was 2-for-4. Riley Lund was 1-for-4. Ayanna Gibson, 1-for-3. Maddie Matthews, 1-for-3. Brandy Meyer, 1-for-3. And Kayla Jan, who's really heating up now, too, she was 2-for-3. So then we were able to pick up a couple games. We were supposed to play in a Wabasso tournament that got rained out, and some things got kind of shaken around a little bit, and we rescheduled with Wabasso. And, oh my gosh, I'm having a mind blank here. Springfield, excuse me. So we played Springfield in the first game on Thursday, and defensively, the woes continued. We had eight errors. Just couldn't make a play. They're a very good team, very athletic. They're in Section 2A. We only had one hit, and their pitcher was tough. She threw some smoke, but our bats just couldn't quite figure it out. Ayanna Gibson was the only one with a hit. So we couldn't get things rolling there. Val Piatter got her first start, I believe, of her varsity career, and really did a very nice job. I know we got 10 runs in six innings, and we got beat 11-0, but out of those 11 runs, Val only gave up 4 earned runs. She had 3 strikeouts and 2 walks. And like I said, it's a pretty elite team in Section 2A that we played there. So I thought she really did an outstanding job. Then the second game, we wanted to lock horns with Obasso. They're a Section 3A team from the south. And it was overall a pretty good game. We just couldn't get timely hits. Their pitcher did a nice job of keeping us off balance. She threw some nice off-speed pitches at any given point in the count. We only had 4 hits on the game, and we only had 1 error. So again, we're in games. We ended up getting beat 5-1. And Obasso scored 1 run in the first, 2 in the second, 1 in the third, and then we were able to kind of slow things down a little bit. But we couldn't get things going. In the fifth, we had we got Taylor Shellstead ended up scoring on an RBI from Riley Lund. Taylor was 1-for-3. Riley was 1-for-2 with the RBI. Kendall Shellstead was 1-for-3, and Maddie Matthews was 1-for-3. So again, the sticks were a little quiet, but I will say in both games there was some solid pitching. Taylor threw 6 innings there, gave up 7 hits, 5 runs, had 4 walks and 3 strikeouts. I think we can play with Labasso. I think we can play with anybody as long as we're making plays behind Taylor or whoever's pitching. That's going to be the key for us. Then yesterday we went to Ortonville for a doubleheader, and the defensive woes continued. We had 5 errors in the first game, but we did score 15 runs off of 15 hits. So again, the bats are there. We just got to figure out a way to make some plays. Riley Lund was 3-for-5. She's had an amazing season at the plate, too. Jalen Lee was 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs, or excuse me, with 1 RBI, and she scored 3 runs. Kendall Shellstead was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. Ayanna Gibson was 2-for-5 with an RBI. Maddie Matthews was 0-for-4, but she did have 2 RBIs. Brandy Meyer was 2-for-3, scoring 2 runs and with an RBI. Claire Borstead was 1-for-2, scoring 2 runs. And then Kayla Jan, 2-for-3 with 4 RBIs. So we ended up winning that game 15-9. And then Taylor threw that game. We really wanted to keep her pitch count down in these games. Section seeding was done. She threw a few innings. We jumped out to a pretty nice lead. We brought Val in. Our defense crumbled. Poor Val. We just haven't played very well defensively behind her. She gave up 6 runs over 2/3 of an inning, and but none of them were earned. So she had 2 walks and no strikeouts, and we ended up bringing Taylor back in to finish out the game. So again, that score ended up to be 15-9. We won that in 7 innings. And then the second game, Taylor's arm, we just really want to make sure that she's fresh for Tuesday's section games. So she threw Val Piatta started, got her second career start and her first career win. We beat Ortonville 14-6. We defensively we struggled again. That seems to be a theme right now. 6 errors behind us. But at the plate, Taylor Shellstead was 1-for-3 with 3 RBIs. Riley Lund was 3-for-5. Jalen Lee was 1-for-3. Kendall Shellstead 1-for-4. Ayanna Gibson 1-for-5. Maddie Matthews 2-for-4. And Maddie's swinging a good bat too. Claire Borstead heated up a little bit, going 2-for-3, and then Kayla Jan 1-for-1 with 2 walks. Val, with her first career win, gave up 6 runs, but only 3 of them were earned, had 6 strikeouts and 1 walk, and gave up 8 hits. So that was our week, and now we're hoping the girls can rest up, get healthy. We get a practice on Monday, and then sections. We host sections, we're the 2 seed, on Tuesday.
Yep.
So we hope that everybody can come on out and watch the girls play. We will play Dawson Boyd, who's the 7 seed, at 2:00. Following that game, it will be BBE as the 6 seed versus YME as the 3 seed. That game will be played at approximately 3:30. If you lose in that first round, you're done. You go home. So it's a big deal. If you can get to the second round, it turns into a double elim tournament. So we're hoping we can play well, defend, make the plays behind Taylor, and swing the bat well and advance and see where we can go. This team has athletes, they have hitters, so I really believe that we can go deep into the playoffs and ball is ball, so crazy things happen.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, I'll be out there Tuesday, 2 o'clock start between the Blackjacks and the Eagles, and always nice to host a tournament, right, Scott?
For sure. We're looking forward to it, and the girls have earned that. So.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Paul.
All right, that's Scott Sawatsky, head coach of the Occoquan Valley girls softball team. Hey, let's hear from them, a few of them softball girls, and they're going to tell us who the Home Run sponsors are.
Hi, I'm Taylor Shelstead.
I'm Ayana Gibson.
I'm Riley Lund of the Occoquan Valley softball team.
The OQPV softball team would like to thank our Dugout Club Home Run sponsors for their donations of $500 or more. Thank you to Lovickson Tiling, Cargill, Zarbuck Funeral and Cremation Service, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Appleton VFW Post 4955,
Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Trigested, Pioneer Seeds, Prairie Sun Bake Marietta, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Q92 FM Radio, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
All right, Paul Ramo back with the Coach's Show. We're going to talk tennis with Austin Ireland. Good morning, Austin.
Morning, Paul.
All right, tell us how the tennis team did this past week.
Yeah, well, we had headed down south to take on Pipestone and Laverne. You know, this has been a crazy spring. We only had 9 matches in the regular season, and typical year, you know, you get about 12, 15. So we took on Pipestone on Thursday. We had to play both teams. It was supposed to be on a Saturday, but the rain rained us out. So, yeah, we beat them 5-2. We did a nice job out there. Jackson Buehr is at number one single. He's been a great job, head on his shoulders, moves his feet well, knows what he's got to do. He took on a tough kid, Lucas Zupp, beating him 6-3, 6-0. Gavin Stoltz at number two. Gavin ended up losing 6-0, 6-1. Matt Barnson, he's done a really good job starting to figure things out. You know, he's having a little more experience at the singles position. He's at number three. Yeah, he won 6-3, 6-1. And then we switched up our lineup. We've got playoffs next, you know, coming up here. So we switched up our lineup. We put Gunnar Olsen at fourth singles, and he ended up losing 6-3, 6-0. All our doubles, we swept all of our doubles there. Luke Stock and Mitchell Myers played one. They ended up winning. So it's Brody Nelson and Brody Boffin at two, and then Tony Reap and Jeremiah Stevens winning at three. Afterwards, we went down to Laverne, and Laverne won our section 13 years in a row. We ended up beating them 6-1 this year, so it's nice to get two wins against those Southern teams that are very, very strong. Jackson Buehr lost a really close match to Ethan Nass, 7-5, 6-4. Gavin Stoltz took on Parker Carbonneau, and Gavin played his first complete match of the year. He's kind of a showman. You know, he's got all the tools. He's tall, athletic. He had great shots, but you know, sometimes some of those great shots don't fall. But he played a full match there, ended up winning, dropping that first set 6-4, and then winning 6-3 and 10-8. Matt Martinson did a great job. Again, he took on Ross Bergman, beating him in straight sets 6-4, 6-1. And we got Brody Nelson at fourth singles. He's doing a great job. He's really starting to figure things out. He's only a freshman, so he's really kind of growing. I mean, he's about 80% of his legs. This kid shot up about a foot and a half over the offseason. And then our one double is Gunnar Olsen and Luke Stock. They won 6-3, 6-4. They're playing well when Luke can get a serve in, and you know, he can start serving away. That's a very good one doubles team. Brody Boffin and Mitchell Myers, they played well, winning 6-1, 6-1. They're kind of like Abbott Costello. You know, they're hot and they're cold. They're yes and no, so they can kind of, you know, play well together. It's been kind of a challenge to get them, you know, to be on the same page this year, but they have been as of lately. And then Tony Reap and Jeremiah Stevens ended up winning their match. So yeah, it was good to beat both those teams down south.
All right, two good wins this week then, Austin.
Yeah, you know, now we got our playoffs on Monday.
Oh, playoffs start already Monday for you guys, huh?
Yeah, you know, we are the number four seed, a higher seed. We would host, you know, and unfortunately our courts are kind of run, you know, aren't good enough, so we're gonna have to go on the road to play McCray. You know, it's in other sports, you host a playoff game, they throw a parade for you, but we're unable to take that parade. So we'll just have to bring our talents to Clare City and hopefully come out with a win. So then the section finals is on Tuesday. And that's down in Redwood. So it looks like Benson, number one seed, they're going to be a tough team to beat. But we'll see. We got to get there first. We got to take care of business on Monday. And, you know, it's kind of a tough draw. I was actually kind of hoping for a lower seed because McCray, you know, they're kind of a wild card. They have different lineups all around. And, you know, if you beat them, then you got to play the number one seed versus, you know, if we would have been a little bit lower, we maybe could have worked our way to that. But,
okay.
You know, we'll just see what we can do from there. And then we start individuals. That's on Thursday.
Wow. A lot of tennis, playoff tennis then this week, huh?
Yeah, you know, it could be a really good week where we keep going on, but you know, this could be the last week too.
Yeah.
So
season goes fast, doesn't it? Season goes fast, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. Especially the spring we had or the lack of spring we had, but
yeah.
No, I think we're coming in stride. You know, Jackson Buehr's doing a great job. He's beating some of the best kids in the section, so you're having him at number one. That's really great. And you know, Gavin Stoll's starting to get, you know, he's got potential to do a lot of great things. You know, putting his whole game together. And you know, if Matt can continue on playing well, and you know, our double guys can mesh. You know, Brody's, you know, getting some of that experience at four singles. You know, and Gunnar Olsen's a really great player too. You know, him and Luke, you know, they can cause some havoc down there. So we'll see what happens. We got to get through. We got to get through Monday, and you know, hopefully we can get to Tuesday, and you know, maybe move on to state, but we'll see.
Okay, real good, Austin. Thanks for the report on the boys tennis team this morning.
Yep, thank you.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapara Valley Boys tennis team. We'll take a break, and we'll hear from Darby Biergon on baseball after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
As a national leader in biofuels, Minnesota is bringing drivers a better fuel option that not only costs less, but is also better for your vehicle. Unleaded 88 fuel is a cleaner burning option that helps reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Add the octane boost, and unleaded 88 is the clear choice the next time you fill up. Look for the yellow 88 octane button or find unleaded 88 at a station near you at betterfuel.org. Brought to you by your local Lacaparo County corn and soybean growers and their checkoffs.
Hey Sadie, guess what?
What, Peyton?
It's almost summer, you know what that means.
It's time for the Stampede to Fun.
Sure is, I love Stampede to Fun. It's at Lacaparo Fairgrounds in Madison on Wednesday, May 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. And it's completely free.
I love going to the Stampede to Fun. I wonder what things they'll have there this year.
This year they will have yard games. Lots of yard games.
Yard games? That sounds fun.
There will also be fire trucks, Madison ambulance, a helicopter, city trucks, tractors, a bike rodeo where you can sign up to win a free bike, and much more.
That sounds fun, but I wonder what they'll have to eat.
They will have pulled turkey sandwiches, hot dogs, nachos, and cotton candy.
Awesome. I love cotton candy.
Well, let's make sure to go.
For sure. I'll tell all my friends.
Can't wait.
What if it rains?
You better bring your umbrella because this event is held in rain or shine.
See you on Wednesday, May 24th at Lacaparo County Fairgrounds from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Stampede to Fun.
Mylan presents the 17th annual A Taste of Sittin' to Mai, Saturday, May 20th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Lots of activities going on for young and old. Kvitside Smorgas Tea at Kvitside Church, 10 to 1. Musicians from noon to 2. The Yufta Parade at 2 o'clock. There will be traditional Norwegian arts, crafts, and food, kids' activities. Stop by the Mylan Village Art School, Arvhus Museum, Billy Maple Trees, and enjoy the vendors. Come on over for A Taste of Sittin' to Mai in Mylan. It's happening this Saturday. You're invited.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacaparo Valley Baseball now with head coach Darby Biergon. Darby's in the studio early here because you're actually on the road to Pipestone, Darby.
Yeah, that's correct, Paul. We are heading down to Pipestone today. It was supposed to be a game played on Tuesday, but they had to reschedule because of a conference game. So we're making it up today and a noon start down in Pipestone. So we got a road trip ahead of us, but we're looking forward to a non-conference game.
I don't think I've ever been to the field there in Pipestone. What's it like?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been there myself, but about 10, 15 years ago, and if I remember it was pretty nice field, and excited to get down there and see a different park again.
All right. Before we preview that anymore, let's talk about how the Eagles did this past week.
Sure. We had two games this week. On Monday, we traveled to Sunburg to play KMS, and on Thursday, we had Mineota at home. So, unfortunately, both games were good games, but we came out on the wrong end of the stick on that one. We ended up 0-2 for the week against two conference foes and two teams that are at the top of the conference. So our first game was Monday at Sunburg versus KMS. Like I said, we came out on the wrong end. We lost 4-1. We had one run on five hits and four errors. We faced probably one of the best pitchers in the conference, and Cortez Kid. But we hung with them for most of the game. So, you know, if we eliminate our errors, it's kind of a 1-1 game almost through seven, and we would have them on the rope. So we found out that we can hang with them, but we just have to eliminate our errors and mental errors. In that game offensively, Dylan Keimig was 2-for-4, and Caden Mortensen was 1-for-3 with a run, and he had a double. TJ Mitchell was 1-for-2 with an RBI, and Brain Danzeason was 1-for-3. So how we scored a run was in the second. Caden Mortensen started off the inning with a double, and he moved over. He did not move over, but he scored on TJ Mitchell's hard single to right field. So that's how we got our lone run. We also had a very, very good pitching performance by our own pitcher, Brock Biernield. He went six innings. He gave up six hits, four runs, and like I said, only one was earned. He had one walk and three strikeouts, so it was a really good pitching battle between Cortez and Brock there. Again, we're right in that game if we eliminate our errors, and it's probably a 1-1 game for most of the way. Okay. So,
what was the final score there?
That was 4-1, 4-1 KMS. Okay. So we learned that we can play with the big boys. I think KMS is right at the top in our conference and also in the section that they play in. So they're a good ball team. So
they're not in our section.
Not in our section. They go north. So okay. And then we backed it up on Thursday. We came back and played Mineota at home, a 5 o'clock game. Excellent, excellent game. It went nine innings, and in the ninth inning, it kind of unraveled for us. It was 2-2 through seven. So they held us scoreless through five, and then in the sixth, Dylan Geiser started out with a single, and Caden Molden walked, and Caden Mortensen bunted those guys over, so we had second and third, and then Ethan Schomer had a two-strike double that brought both those guys in to tie the game in the bottom of six. So that was a big hit by Ethan that went to the fence and scored those two runs, which was a huge, huge part of the game for us at that point. So, and then the wheels kind of came undone for us in the ninth. We gave up eight runs in the ninth. Only three of those were earned. So it kind of snowballed. You know, we kind of held our heads after a little bit, but we got to learn to get up from that and pick ourselves up and forget it, the short memory thing that we've talked about in the past. So we did put three runs up in the bottom of nine to have a little bit of a comeback to make the final score 10-5.
Okay. Yeah, baseball is a strange game, isn't it?
It is. And Bart and I've talked about it, and Dick has talked about it on the air, but it's really important. Learn from your mistakes and have a short memory, because the next play could come right at you again. So we're still learning that, but hopefully we will pick up on that quickly, and come playoffs here in about a week, we won't have that issue.
All right. Any more on that Mineota game?
Yeah, we can run through the offensive stats here if you'd like. Dylan Keimig was 1-for-3 with a run. He also had a sacrifice bunt. Dylan Geiser was 2-for-4 with two runs. Caden Molden was 0-for-3 with a run. He also had an RBI. Joseph Ramsbacher was 1-for-1 with an RBI. Ethan Schomer was 1-for-4 with that double and two RBIs. And then we got some other guys in there doing a few things. They don't show up in the stats, but we put some big at-bats together and some sacrifice bunts, moved some people over and stuff like that also. So, again, we had an outstanding pitching performance by our starter. Dylan Geiser started on the mound for us. He actually went 7 2/3 innings before we had to pull him because he hit the 105 number for our pitch count. He gave up two runs, two earned. He scattered five hits through those 7 2/3. He walked one guy and had six strikeouts. And then Caden Mortensen was kind of the tough luck loss guy in this case because of the ninth inning when it kind of fell apart for us. He threw 1/3 of an inning, The eight runs were there, but only three earned, like we talked about, and three walks, and he gave up two hits. Joseph Ramsbacher came in and finished it off for us. He threw one inning, he gave up one hit, and he had one strikeout. So, unfortunately, a really, really, really well-played game through eight innings, and then the ninth inning hit us. So, we tried to focus on those good first eight innings, but we also have to learn from that ninth inning. So,
okay. All right. How did JV do this week?
JV lost to KMS. I believe it was like 12-7, and then they beat Minneota 9-2.
Okay. So, how many regular season games do you have left, Darby?
We have today down in Pipestone, and then we come back on Tuesday and play RTR at home. And the seedings will be happening Wednesday morning, so we'll have a pretty good idea where we're playing on Saturday and who we're playing.
All right. Man, that went quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
How many games have you got in?
We're 6-5 right now, so we're 11, so we'll have 13 total. That's, you know, we could have a total of 20, but because of the weird spring season and other teams having to cancel to play conference foes and stuff like that, it just worked out that we basically had a conference schedule this year. So moving forward, not all springs are like this, so hopefully we can get more games in years to come.
Okay. How's your pitching staff looking?
You know, we're doing okay. Right now, we've stretched our starters out quite a bit, so they can go quite a few innings, and they're throwing strikes for us, which we're asking. You know, that's what we want, throwing outs, throwing strikes. So, and we always have our short relief guys that are ready to go too. So, as of right now, knock on wood, we're sitting okay.
Okay, all right. Well, best of luck in Pipestone today, and who do you got Tuesday?
Tuesday we have RTR at home.
At home, okay.
Yes.
They're one of the better teams.
I would say they're one of the better teams in the conference, and they've got a really good pitcher. If we see him or not, we'll find out. And the Wickman kid, he throws pretty hard, so it'd be fun to face him.
All right. All right, Darby, thanks for coming in, and once again, the best of luck in Pipestone today. A noon start?
Noon start.
Noon start, okay.
Yep, thanks for having us, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet, Darby. Darby Biergon, head coach of the Lac Parle Valley boys baseball team, and we'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
You're invited to The Prom, Broadway's hit musical filled with song, dance, laughs, and plenty of zazz. Give it some zazz! When a fabulous, quirky group of Broadway actors arrive to help a small-town teenager who can't take her girlfriend to the prom, will they actually help? It's a story of love, acceptance, and embracing the person you were meant to be. Get on the floor! The Prom, on the main stage at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. For tickets, visit chanhassendt.com. It's time
to dance! Prairie Sun Bank is your community bank, helping you turn your dreams into reality, offering four locations to serve you better. Prairie Sun Bank will be your partner when you buy a car, a home, or make farm operating decisions. We are here for you with trusted advice and quality service that you can count on, making banking easier with the latest in technology while still providing that small-town personal service that you have come to expect. Bank with Prairie Sun Bank, located in Appleton, Milan, Marietta, and Browns Valley.
And that'll wrap up another Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Showing at the Grand Theater in Madison, Friday, May 19th through Monday, May 22nd. In Theater 1, it's Fast X. That's Fast and Furious 10, rated PG-13, opening nationwide. And in Theater 2, held over Book Club, The Next Chapter, rated PG-13. Both show once nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, 7 o'clock at the Grand in Madison.
The time is 9:57. Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP-FM.
When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, hey, take it away! Get
so
the ball and fight!
Your school.
Football and track. I'm proud to wear it now when I cruise around the other parts of the town. I got
Back up on the football game and I'll be ready to fight. We're gonna smash him now. My girl will be working on her pom-poms now and she'll be yelling tonight. So be true to your school.
QP Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
There's no agreement yet. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. There is some optimism overseas when President Biden, who was asked about debt ceiling talks.
First meetings weren't all that progressive. The second ones were. Third one was. And then what happens is the carriers go back to the principals.